It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, would you bring your attention to me?
For
a feast for your eyes to see an explosion of catastrophe.
Starring.
I'm here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
Where does one go to get that time back?
Yeah.
I feel like it's my obligation as an American to watch.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Shouldn't it go in like this area, like so we can pay, what's it, homage?
Well, homage? Yeah, the H is silent.
Is it homage?
Yep.
All right, okay.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
Obviously, Santo has okayed me to talk about this or to post it on my story. So everyone shut up.
Here's what I would recommend.
A bunch of sensitive sallies in this that are like, women suck. Okay, well, that's why you're never getting laid.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shimey. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
According to you, Joe Montana, not on that list.
Right.
Yeah, he's way down the list. He stinks.
So 2020.
That guy would suck in today's
NFL.
Yeah.
He would suck today?
Yeah, in today's NFL, he would stink.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passive judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of...
You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. That you're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill!
Go!
Greg Hill!
Show!
All right.
Morning.
What up? What up?
How you doing, Wiggy?
Oh, man, I'm living life.
We're getting there.
Oh, yeah.
The red-hot Boston Red Sox alive and well this morning, Curtis.
Sizzle.
Yeah, alive and well.
I'm this close to blocking Ken again from texting. Just like, go away, dude.
Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
Yeah, you got a Tyler O'Neill walk-off, and you win that one last night. You have now won four of your last six.
Yeah.
And you're keeping us hanging on.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, you gotta get on the two games outside of the third wild card spot. You're still four right now, so it's still kinda like
not really.
A little bit. You're like, you know, you're peeking.
Not happening for you.
I mean, you're still kinda peeking in the window, see if you can see something.
They're two games over .500. They have a +3 run differential. They are the definition of average. But go Sox. Take on those Yanks tonight. Don't miss a second of it.
Right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network, Curtis.
Oh, you know what? When the Sox are in the Bronx, my world comes to a halt. I just watch ball. Have you been to the new stadium, Greg?
Huh?
Have you been to the new Yankee Stadium?
No. I went to Yankee Stadium. Well, how recent is it, Curtis?
I don't know. I haven't been. I think 2009.
Oh,
roughly.
Then I have been. Yes. I probably went 6-7 years ago to a game,
the Bronx.
Location location, location. You know that. Mrs. Wiggins is a real estate agent.
Yes.
It doesn't have like the history that Fenway has, and so being a baseball guy, Curtis, I really enjoy the history of the game. That's what I like.
If I remember correctly, you just spent the entire night just walking around talking to ghosts, saying hello to Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth.
Yes, one of
those just truly spiritual experiences.
Right. Isn't somebody buried in center field or something?
Yes. Ken's Dreams.
If I remember correctly, it's Santo because he bought the wrong flowers.
Nope.
I think
Santo loved the segment yesterday.
I'm sure he did.
There you go. Did.
I'm sure he loved it.
We had a romantic evening last night.
All right, Sandro got him some.
What was romantic about your evening last night?
Just being together. You know, we love love.
There you go. That's what you do, Courtney.
Poor Santo.
I got to tell you something. I cannot stand the sight of blood.
Oof.
And a near fatal disaster last night. The lovely DMs was attempting to make me my cucumber thing.
You know the cucumber salad type, whatever it is.
Thing that she makes me in the morning so I can be healthy. And
you have to specify the cucumber after yesterday's news story.
It's not the cucumber in the driveway thing.
No.
It's a different cucumber thing. And she took a massive chunk out of her finger using the mandolin.
Mm.
Have you ever used one
of
those?
What's the mandolin?
Got to be careful with those puppies, man. Those things are sharp.
Apparently, there's a massive amount of mandolin accidents in the summer because of cucumbers, but because of avocados. I had no idea that there's an actual avocado hand.
People use the mandolin for avocados?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's because they want super thin slices of it?
It doesn't
seem to me like you need the mandolin for the avocado.
Really? Seems more for your zucchinis, your summer squashes.
But it looks like it would be safe, because it's
what,
almost
the
like... Yeah, like
no,
it's almost
not,
like the cold
not,
cut
no,
thing.
No,
you...
it's super sharp. And so the chunk of it is... First of all, I have to fix the situation. It's a complete, horrendous situation with the blood everywhere.
Ooh.
And you can see the bone in the finger.
Oh.
Damn, she went down to the white.
Did you take her to the hospital?
Huh?
Did you take her to the hospital?
No, I told her. I said I recommend that if you want to go see the doctor, there's one right down the street. You can walk over there and make your way over there at some
stitches.
Point. But I did assist with putting the Band-Aid on it, but I don't like the sight of those kinds of things.
Yeah, you don't like the sight of blood?
No, I'm not.
Get you going?
I'm not into that at all.
Yeah.
Did you still eat the cucumbers?
No, I requested that once the finger felt better that the cucumbers were prepared for today's show. I mean, it's very important.
Oh, I thought you would have gone in the other direction. We can't eat these cucumbers anymore. Back to bagels.
There's nothing better than a bagel in the morning, Curtis.
No,
I'm sorry.
A nice toasted one.
I appreciate being healthy. Shyam said this to me yesterday. Was it yet? No, it was earlier this week.
2 days ago.
Have you been with Shyam in his new state where he just out of the blue mutters something about food that he misses and loves?
Yes.
That was the situation.
I
with
lust
bagels.
After food constantly.
That was the situation with bagels the other day around here, Shyam.
God, I love bagels so much.
Oh, now I want a bagel.
A good bagel. I don't know if there's anything I enjoy more in the morning than just a nice, fresh, warm bagel.
You gotta have it toasted, right?
Grilled.
Not everybody can grill it in the morning.
Well, I understand that, but
if we're living
in a fantasy world, then you would want to have it grilled.
Yeah. But if we're living in reality, toasted is better than just
that can be a fire risk, as we learned on this show 3 years ago.
I'm just more of a light toast guy. I don't want a ton of crisp on my bagel.
Okay.
I want it soft and warm and Chewy. Oh, yeah.
I need a crispy bagel.
Yeah. And do you like the flavored cream cheese, or do you just
I love a good veggie cream cheese.
The same. I love a veggie cream cheese.
Place down the street here has a Diablo cream cheese. If you want a little kick in your morning, delightful.
Keep it natural, baby.
A pavement?
Yes, exactly.
By the way, my butter bagel take may have gotten the most social media positive reaction of anything I've ever said.
Remind me of the take.
Yeah, what was that?
Butter over cream cheese.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yes. Strong disagree.
There is a large vocal majority of residents of this region that prefer butter over cream cheese, but don't like to say it out loud in public settings.
I'll do butter on a bagel, too. I don't mind that, but cream cheese is fine.
Was that the same post where you said butter and cream cheese over Bill Belichick?
You know what? I just wish the guy would stop talking about the Patriots. It's like a little much now. Move on.
Bill's doing his Doug Thizzle.
What happened, Curtis, yesterday? He was on something, and he pivoted as soon as the New England Patriots came up again.
He was on the worst podcast network in America. I don't know what it's called, Underdogs. And he's there with Mike Lombardi, Chief Bobo, and Matt Patricia, Bobo assistant to the main Bobo. And they're talking, and Mike Lombardi is going to get a stern talking to today because he brought up the Patriots using defense to beat the Bengals in week one, and Bill immediately says, yeah, the Steelers really used a great game plan to hide the flaws of their young quarterback to get the week one win. It was, honestly, I respect it. I love
really?
It.
Really? So he's not talking, no Patriots.
No. I don't get it.
Wow. I don't either.
Like, I don't get why.
I don't know.
What? Like, why wouldn't he? I mean, if he's in on the media career,
talks about everything.
That's what people want him to talk about. Like, right. I don't get it.
And I don't know if he still thinks whatever he says will be a headline. Every time he pivots away from them, it's a bigger headline. So if he just said, yeah, great win for them, you know, the defense, blah, blah, blah.
Like, if he's worried about credit, he gets, he gets a little bit of the credit. It's his players. He brought Gerard Mayo along. Yeah. Like, I don't understand why he doesn't embrace it, Curtis.
I don't know how you were surprised by this behavior.
Yeah, if he was just
nice to the quarterback, if he just said, okay, Robert, I'll wear the pin where you want me to wear it, he'd probably still be here.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis, you can't spin this into your normal pounding on Bill Belichick. Like, you can't have it both ways. If he's an egomaniac who wants everything to be about himself, then he would answer those questions and talk about how it's his players and it's his coach and that they're performing well.
Wait, you don't think he's doing this in a selfish way?
What? Explain it to me. Why?
Because he hates that they won. He doesn't want to promote anything about that team. He believes Gerard Mayo went behind his back and took the job that he wanted to end his career with. And he's mad at Robert Kraft.
So you're suggesting that the only time he's going to talk about him is if they lose.
On this very podcast, the week prior, he and Patricia were mocking how the Patriots retained all the guys that they had brought in.
Well, this will be interesting. So,
Isn't that true, Greg?
Well, yeah, they talked about the players. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. If they lose and he doesn't talk about them, then what is it? Like, I don't get, like, you know, just saying, because I feel like, you know, from the clips that I see, he's just talking about the games in general, like, you know, how they did a great job defensively, or this offense played good. So to talk about the Patriots wouldn't be a big deal. Like, hey, they had a great game plan against Cincinnati, played a lot of cover two, whatever it is. I don't get why he's not even, like, going down that
road. It's just so weird.
But he did talk about them. So it's not that he doesn't want to talk about
them. So he did. Did he talk about them?
He talked about the Patriots when they were mocking the fact that they had...
No, I know, but we moved on from that.
Since
then.
But that was the last podcast. So it's not like...
Not since the win.
Okay.
So that's what I'm talking about, is that he has talked about the team, but he doesn't want to say positive things about it. So he just pivoted to another story.
Yeah, but he talked positive about the guys. Oh, you're saying because those are his guys?
Right. He was mocking the decisions made by the people that chose to move on from him, retaining the players that he had brought in the first place this offseason.
All right, I guess we'll have to wait to see what Bill says after a loss about New England.
Yeah.
It's just stunning to me that, like, I mean, I don't watch all of his stuff, but I thought, like, they were bringing him on to, you know, talk about games and if the obviously the Patriots upset Cincinnati.
You would think that would be the number one topic of discussion with Bill Belichick.
Or at least in the conversation.
Crazy, why do you guys think he's not doing it?
I
can't figure it out. You're not crazy. I'm not alleging that you're wild. I'm just trying. I'm attempting to have a discussion and share with you that I personally cannot figure out why he's doing it.
Yeah.
I don't immediately attach evil intent to everything that everybody does in the world.
I'm not saying it's evil at all. If I
ask you a question, you're immediately bloviating and going, "Mom, why do you think he does it? He doesn't want to talk about Gerard Mayo."
But am I petty? It's pretty easy. I don't think it's like this Rubik's Cube.
I can't wait. All I was asking was, I personally don't understand why he wouldn't talk about the Patriots.
Right.
I don't get it either, because also you could go the Dynasty route and he's still pissed about Dynasty, but since then he's gone to Tom Brady night, he's done the roast. Right. So those are all Patriots
related.
Yeah. So to now just shy away from it, and that pivot job was terribly done. To be asked point blank about one team and then go to the Steelers is...
All right, I didn't hear that.
Well, that's what Curtis was just telling us about.
Does he break down any teams and, you know, what their game plan was? Like, did he break down and said, great win by Kansas City, you know, beating Baltimore because they did this? Like, does he do any of that?
He did 45 minutes with Pat McAfee talking about all the games over the weekend. And that podcast, I think, was 50 to 55 minutes talking about all the games over the weekend.
Except for New England.
Right.
Wow. To me, it's definitely a mind F.
Well, I will say this. We will have a Bill on this program this morning, who will talk all about his football team.
Yeah.
And that is Bill O'Brien, the head coach of the Boston College Eagles. And he will join us in one half an hour at 6:45 as the Boston College Eagles get ready for what Wiggy says and Courtney says and Curtis says is perhaps their toughest test, or is definitely their toughest test of the season so far this Saturday.
And I have a Bill O'Brien lead this morning.
Oh, you do? Wow.
I do.
Excellent. Okay, good. Well, we'll get to our leads in 10 minutes. And then Bill O'Brien, 6:45. They said it at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will certainly discuss what Patrick Mahomes said yesterday about the presidential election and whether it is causing any issues between his bae and her bestie. So we'll get to that coming up at 7 on this morning show, and the news with Courtney at 7:45. That includes how creepy is it today and why you should apparently never lift items off of the shelf at the dollar store in Indiana so as to examine them. Mm. And then Red Sox front office report with Sam Kennedy at 9 on this morning show.
Any audio eulogy?
Did I miss the passing?
You missed a big one.
In the music industry?
Oh, yeah, in the music industry. I thought you'd be right on top of this one.
Please tell me who passed away.
Frankie Beverly.
Oh.
From Frankie Beverly and Maze.
The soul star.
Yeah.
We could come to it. What's the...
Joy and Pain.
Yes.
You've heard that one before.
When I
Let Go, I think that's how
I Let Go.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of songs.
I didn't take you for a big soul guy.
No, well, my mother listened to a lot of that. I kind of got that on the back end, you know what I mean? I got that growing up. She listened to Al Green, Marvin Gaye, Teddy Pendergrass, Luther. So I told you, I got every genre of music there is.
Yeah, I mean, now that the two of you are empty nester city dwellers, I'm assuming that occasionally you light a candle or two and then throw some romantic soul music on and let the music do the talking.
We mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
You know, you got to be easy now after Shannon Sharp. You got to make sure.
You got to
make sure you're really going in your music settings. But we mix it up. We go a little bit of slow jams.
I can't figure out where we got to get to trending, but I can't. Is anybody doing Shannon Sharp for their lead? I don't.
Please, I hope so.
How do you accidentally go Instagram Live while having sex? I don't understand how that happens.
Conspiracy theory.
He wanted it.
The girl wanted it.
The girl did?
Like, I think that the girl maybe was like, oh, can I check something on your phone? Hit the live, threw it on the table, and then they went to...
She seemed like... Just based on the audio, that she was engaged in other things, not phone use at the time.
Doesn't it seem interesting that the person suggesting it was the woman just recently had an incident of her own?
A booby slip.
Yes.
That is very different.
I do find it rather interesting.
Believe whatever you want.
Yes, I do.
Might have just told on yourself.
I kind of did.
I see. Now, are you suggesting that if anyone would know a fraudulent, thirsty attempt for likes, it would be this woman right here in the studio.
I'm not going to point fingers, Greg. Yeah. You said
again,
it. Not me.
Let me say this one more time. Clean out your ears. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to do something like that on the interwebs, I would have made my breast look better.
Mm. Preach.
Okay. So,
I think we know the conspiracy theory to it, though.
Slim Shime is an assassin. It's like a whole new world in here.
It really is.
Greg, yeah, I think we kind of know who leaked it based on...
It was Instagram Live. Nobody leaked
it.
Right. Well, Instagram...
you literally go to his account, click Live, and then you hear him saying, put this blank in your blank.
I wonder if he was multi-streaming over to TikTok.
If you know the recent...
I wonder what he's saying about Mahomes. Holy cow, what is this?
If you know the recent history about Shannon Sharpe, he was getting dragged for maybe, you know, liking the banana hammock.
What in the world?
The comedians were coming after him.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, for what he was wearing and how he... You didn't have a Cat Williams... not Cat Williams, but
no.
Mike Epps?
No.
Wait, are you saying that his sexual proclivities was being questioned?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
After he got out of, a Suburban and posted a video wearing a very, very tight outfit with a kind of...
He may personally have wanted it to be out there
that
he was making mad passionate love to a woman.
Because there were a lot of comedians coming for him at this time. So.
Oh, was he getting like Manti Te'o treatment?
Yeah, he was getting some
speculation.
So, but it was more from the comedian world, and so they were cracking a lot of jokes about it. Yeah, so just all you got to do is a quick little Google
dive. That
video
was graphic.
Yes, now we need to figure out who Michelle is.
All right, well, we are going to get to our leads right away coming up. And then Bill O'Brien at 6:45. First, Courtney, and what is trending right now?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Sox take down the Orioles 5-3. Nick Pivetta went six innings, giving up one run on four hits while striking out nine. The guys now on the road to take on the Yankees tonight, 7:15. First pitch with Cooper Criswell getting the start at Fenway. You can hang out with Joe Weil at 6:15 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. Like Greg said, we'll talk with Sam Kennedy this morning at 9 for our Red Sox front office report. We have an AFC East showdown tonight. The Bills are in Miami to take on the Dolphins. Kickoff is at 8:15. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 55 degrees, sunny skies, or clear skies. It's going to be a gorgeous day. Highs in the low 80s with sunny, abundant sunshine this afternoon.
In the 80s today, Curtis?
Yeah, it's going to be crispy out there.
Oh, I love it. All right.
Crispy is reserved for 89 plus. Thank you.
You said 86 plus the other day.
I never said it.
Yeah, you did on Monday.
Plus. I said pushing 90s.
Okay. Tight ship here. We will come. Let's come right back. With the leads, like literally right back from the commercial, on time for once with this morning's lead.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction,
Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session. Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kids next. Time for that lead. My guy, Zach Brown. Nice choice this morning.
Thank
any,
you.
Any particular reason you chose that as the as the lead song?
You know, just feeling extra sentimental this morning. Okay. I just wanted to, you know, make it a nice love song to everybody out there.
Excellent. All right. Well,
for the people.
Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College, coming up at 6:45. So we are getting right to this morning's leads. Hello, Shine.
Hello, Greg. A little Hammer the Shine lead for you this morning. We have Thursday Night Football tonight, an AFC East division game, actually. Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills play tonight. Update for you injury-wise for the Miami Dolphins. Raheem Mostert has been labeled as out for this game, which means that Devon Achane is listed to be the number one back heading into this football game. However, he's also listed as questionable. So just like with Monday night with Christian McCaffrey, it's going to be kind of a last-minute thing to find out if Achane plays or not. If he doesn't play, this is going to be a big Tua passing night. Even if he does play, I think you're still going to see a lot of passing out of the Dolphins due to what the Cardinals were able to do to the Bills last week. So I love the Jalen Waddle receiving yards over of 64.5. And then the other two props I love are on the Bills side. James Cook, over 2.5 receptions. This was my Mary Poppins alert of the week yesterday. I tweeted that one out for you. James Cook has hit this in 7 of his last 10. He's received 3-plus targets in 9 of his last 10 games. So I love this number. I think this number's too low. It should be upwards more of 3.5, 4. So over 2.5 catches for James Cook. And then the Josh Allen rushing yards. Josh Allen, as you saw this past week, is doing everything himself. For the most part, this entire offense runs through Josh Allen, nobody else, and he is not afraid to tuck it and run. I think he ran for 60 some odd yards in the playoff game just a couple weeks ago, or last year, I mean, and even last week ran for 39 yards, I believe it was, and this week's total is only 37.5. So I like the Josh Allen over on rushing as well.
Okay, Sean. And as is the case always with these games, one of these two AFC East teams will be the loser. So should our beloved New England Patriots be able to win this game on Sunday, you will have a leg up on one of your teams in your division.
Yes. Unfortunately, though, if it's Miami, you may still be in second place, as Courtney alluded to the other day.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Shime.
You're
Curtis,
welcome.
Curtis, good morning.
Greg, this morning and every morning, you are in first place.
Oh.
Because, well, not just the latest weekly notwithstanding. Why don't I read about that? The ESPN, ESPN's Don Van Natta wrote a long-form story yesterday about Robert Kraft. Isn't it amazing that despite the fact that the winning has ceased, ESPN still has an entire division dedicated to exposing the Patriots? So within this long-form story, it's really about why Robert Kraft isn't in the Hall of Fame, how deeply he wants to be in the Hall of Fame, and how the sort of political system and motives of those that vote are impacted. Buried within this story is the explanation about the Dynasty docuseries. We all remember Jeff Benedict, Matthew Hamachek coming in here, defending their work as impartial.
Yes.
Greg, you were spot on balls accurate, or dead on balls accurate.
I love when you say that. Say that again.
Greg Hill.
Yes.
Despite all of the inadequacies you present daily, you are right very often. Mm-hmm. And according to the story, so Stacey James is quoted throughout disputing a lot of these things. I highly suggest you read the whole piece. According to Don Van Natta, the Patriots got $27.5 million for the Dynasty docuseries. And for the rights and all of that. All of their library of footage, everything.
They were in charge of selling the Dynasty series. Therefore, that was their series.
Correct. So okay. Other networks, streaming providers, cable companies vied for it. Apple got the winning bid. And that, to me, of all the things that bother people from this region specifically, doing one thing and saying you're really doing something else. It's okay. People here, I think, believe Robert Kraft should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I think you should be in the Hall of Fame.
I do.
I think, though, Bill Belichick has more to do with it. And I feel like these battles and these power struggles are so strange to me. Like, it was okay to say that the guy that owns a team that won six Super Bowls wanted to work on a project that would be his final legacy, that painted him in a positive light. But the fact that the one thing nobody can talk about at Brady's Roast, the one thing that is, you know, beyond the pale, is the personal issue with Robert Kraft. And that, to me, is just, it's okay. I have made a billion mistakes in my life. We all have. It's not like you killed a guy, and I just find the desire to be in preventing him from getting the ultimate entrance into the Canton, into the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, is ironic. And yeah. I feel sorry for him in that I do believe the other owners hate the success that he had and he should be in, but the story does not paint Mr. Kraft in a positive light.
Brilliant businessman, though. You basically did Bill dirty with an entire series on Netflix and got paid $27 million to do it. That's pretty good.
It's crazy.
Nah, that's good
pretty,
money.
That's pretty good.
And be able to cover the tab that you had to pay for Brady in his Brady night.
I will say this, though. What's wild to me is it's a really good read, the article, and very interesting. And as Curtis said, Robert Kraft should be in the NFL Hall of Fame. He saved this region. Like, the owners that came before him, whether it was Victor Kiam or the Orthwines or even the Sullivans, did not provide decades of success here for their fans. Did not provide a beautiful new stadium for their fans. Mm-hmm. Did not. He belongs in the NFL Hall of Fame for saving this team. Absolutely. But the fact that some of those who are voters, what the issue that they have is Spygate, is ridiculous to me.
Right. Crazy.
That's been adjudicated.
Right.
Their issue should be with Roger Goodell, not Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
And the other thing is with that specifically, if all of a sudden the Patriots sucked, then you would have a point. In other words, it's like Michigan last year. If the second the signs were no longer coming in, they got blown out by Alabama in the semifinal, then you could say it was all nonsense. But the Patriots won more after.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Curtis, thank you. Great lead. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Quick lead for me this morning. Bill O'Brien, I've talked extensively about how much I love him and how excited I am that he is the leader of the BC Eagles this season and hopefully for many seasons to come. He had a media availability yesterday, and he was asked a very silly question ahead of their biggest game to date against Mizzou. Here's how that went down.
Every day, they'll be ready to go, but it'll be a big challenge for us.
Coach, the week after this, you guys got Michigan State now.
Don't worry about Michigan State.
At 8 p.m.
Just only thinking about Missouri. Appreciate the question, but only thinking about Missouri.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. If that was Halfley, if that was Adazio, if that was Spaz, they would have done like 10 minutes on, you know, 2 weeks from now when they've got a number 6 Mizzou ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien is treating this team like a professional program, and that is what we needed. We needed a hard ass who came in and told these guys to shape up.
Yeah.
And the way that he's handling the media and the actual players and the fans is chef's kiss. Bill O'Brien is going to be the key to this season, and I'm just jazzed for Saturday.
All right. It's a focused, big test.
He is focused only on this week.
Correct, as he should be.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Giant.
Where did he learn that from?
That would be Bill Belichick.
All right.
That would be Bill.
Wiggy, hello. Good morning.
Excuse me. Good morning. I will say, I had a long night last night.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
We,
wait a minute. You didn't let your night job interfere with your day job.
No, I just had a little,
job.
No, I had a little backup.
I saw you on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Looked like you were having some drinks. In the North End.
Good ass drinks at Wicked Craft.
Oh,
I don't know if you've ever been there in the North End.
Oh, okay.
That was the ESPN story.
The sliders over there, they have like these Hawaiian teriyaki sliders.
Really?
Ooh,
how many of those you put down?
Nah, I only put down one of those, and I only put down one macaroni and cheese bites.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah. You just made it plural.
Bite. Well, that's what they come out as a group, macaroni and cheese bites. They don't just bring out one.
I see.
And shout out to my boy C-Money was out there. You know, I'm still trying to figure out the North End politics, you know?
I see. What are you trying to figure out?
Well, you know, where to go, where not to go. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it's tough times
nowadays. You just have to know Frank and Nikki. That's it.
I do know Frank and Nikki.
Okay, all right. Well,
but I'm meeting other people.
Well, just tell everybody you know Frank and Nikki. You'll be all set. Okay.
Well, here's my lead really quick. It is an absolute shame. Yeah, there I am on IG, so go give your boy a follow with the macaroni and cheese bites.
You got to give your handle.
JWiggs85.
Nice.
It ain't changed. My boy C-Money in the back. Another Eastie, he went to EC and graduate, but, you know, he's
looks
an Eastie
like,
product.
Looks like the two of you are out there stag. I don't see any ladies.
No, we were out there for...
Where's Mrs. Wiggins?
She went to the Thames concert at Aganis Arena.
Oh.
So she went there, and then she
Does she know you were going out with the fellas?
Yeah, and then she came over afterwards.
Oh,
her
okay.
cousin's in town. So okay. Here's my lead. It's an absolute joke, and it's disgusting that we are even having this conversation that Robert Kraft is not in the Hall of Fame. It is the dumbest thing ever. There are, I believe I want to say, 16 owners that are in. You know, Pat Bowlen, Al Davis, some of these owners that are in, Jerry Jones. When you start to look at what they've done, they've all accomplished things in the NFL, those owners. But Robert Kraft has accomplished just as much, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about...
When it comes to winning, clearly.
Yeah, when it comes to winning, like, right? That's what the owner doesn't have, like, a massive on-field impact. But it's about the coach he hires and all that stuff. So if you look at the owners that are in the NFL Hall of Fame, he has done more than all of them because he has more chips.
Who are the two most successful franchises in the history of the NFL?
I would say the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh. I was going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Cowboys.
Okay. I would say Dallas Cowboys. I mean, you just look at value, America's team.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant based on winning.
Yeah, but Jerry Jones is in. Robert Kraft should be in.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems basic to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, it's the stupidest thing ever. I don't know what the hell. I heard Jones and Keith talking about this yesterday, and they were like, well, you know. They didn't really, like, it was no big deal. I think it's a massive deal.
All right, Wiggy, great lead.
You got it.
Unfortunately, because of Bill O'Brien, I will have to get to my lead after 7.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Can we get a little tickle tease?
You can. Yesterday, America received an apology of sorts from an NFL player. And I can't wait to hear what you say about it. So we'll get to that. During my lead coming up at 7, but the head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, is next. Time for our weekly discussion with the coach, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football. And during the break, Bill was showing us some great film of SBS teams beating FCS teams. appreciate that.
I seriously do not know where they got that from. I'm like, I apologize to the guy for asking that, but I was just like, what are you talking about? I didn't show that one time. I'm sorry, but whatever.
Wouldn't it be the other way if you were going to show like FCS teams that beat FBS teams to make sure your guys don't overlook it?
Yeah. Like, by the way, like my thing is too, and like I said, I really believe this. Like, I really don't know the difference. Like, in today's college football, Wig, you got FBS, FCS, you know, NCIS, CIA, whatever.
Yep.
Like, I don't know what they're talking about. These teams are all, we play good teams every week. So we got to get ready to go.
Well, you got a good team this week on the road Saturday against the No. 6 Tigers. There was a lot of back and forth on this show and elsewhere about Alabama getting in the playoff last year over Florida State. But we do sit here week 3 or whatever, and 6 of the top 7 teams are SEC teams. Is that conference that much better than the rest of college football, Bill?
You know, I look, I think the SEC is a great conference. I coached in the SEC. You know, you would probably say it would be tough to argue to say that the SEC is not the best conference. But I got to tell you guys, like, the ACC and having coached also in the Big Ten, I mean, there's a lot of good teams in these conferences, right? So, like, I think at the end of the day, you got to let it play out year in and year out. It's good that it's a 12-team playoff now. So, you know, we'll see what happens at the end of the year for, you know, some of these teams. But, like, I just think that the ACC, you know, it's a good conference. We have a lot of teams in this conference that are you know, good teams.
Bill, you look at this test for you guys up next. Mizzou's coming off back-to-back shutout wins. Is your offense, do they feel ready? Do you feel like Castellanos is prepared to take on, especially a pass defense that Mizzou has?
You know, I think so. I mean, I think we've had a good week of practice. This is definitely the best team we've played here at BC, and, you know, before even I got here. This is a good football team. I mean, these guys definitely deserve to be in the top 10. You know, they have talent in all three phases. I mean, just for example, like, their place kicker is an excellent, excellent kicker. I mean, they've got really good offensive and defensive line. They got really good skill players, got an excellent quarterback. It's going to be a huge challenge for us, but, you know, these guys, they practice. They show up every single day. They had a really good practice yesterday. We got to have a good one today. We got to have a really sharp practice. It's a Thursday, which is kind of like a Friday in the pros. So we got to have a really good practice today. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. I think Tommy's, you know, ready, but, you know, it has to play out on the field on Saturday.
After what we heard during Courtney's lead, I don't want to ask you to look ahead on the field wise to next week, but yesterday being September 11th, how meaningful is that red bandana game tradition for Boston College, Bill?
Yeah, no, it's that's a huge deal here at BC. You know, I actually had the honor of speaking to Wells' mom on a Zoom about a month ago, and, you know, spent about an hour on a Zoom call with her and just hearing about Wells' life and, you know, the whole story. And I was familiar with the story, but when you hear it from his mom, it's just incredible. And so, you know, look, at the end of the day, I you know, we don't want to look ahead to that game, but when you think about yesterday and you think about everybody knows where they were on that day, that was just a horrible day. I was actually coaching at Georgia Tech at that on that day, and I actually lost three friends that I went to college with on that day in the tower. So, you know, I just think that Wells Crowther and his family and what that means to Boston College is it's a big deal. And, you know, it's a week away or whatever, but we're always thinking about Wells.
Bill, when you look at this game, it you know, a very, very good team, but this is a great test, especially for your team. And I think the biggest thing, what you guys are going to have to show when you think about, you know, any football game, is up front. How do you feel about your team up front, both sides of the football? I know your defense has done a great job, and you guys have the ability to run the football, and that's what you look like you're really doing. How important is it that you're getting the message through to those guys that it's going to be a great test, but this game is going to be won up front, both sides of the football?
Yeah, that's a huge message this week. That's the matchup of the game on both sides of the ball. So it's our offensive line versus a very, very, you know, well-coached veteran defensive line in Missouri, some transfers. They've got a defensive tackle from Florida who's an excellent player. They got two defensive ends that are really good. It's a great matchup for us. You know, we got Trapillo and Bowery at tackle. You know, those guys have to bring their best game on Saturday. And then defensively, their offensive line week is very, very athletic. They run the outside zone kind of like Denver used to run it, mm-hmm. You know, where they kind of buck it and run. And so it's going to be a big, big challenge for us. The quarterback, Brady Cook, is a really good player. He's a good passer. He's very athletic. He can run. So we got to try to keep him in the pocket. And you know, look, it'll always be that way for BC. We've got to win games up front. I think that's the way this program has to be, you know, constructed. So, you know, it's a big challenge for those guys this week.
I know you'd been trying to get Northern Illinois on the schedule for next season. You might want to rethink that.
They beat us last year.
We do not want anything to do with Northern Illinois right now. I can promise you that.
Bill, they
did an awesome job, man. That was an awesome game for them.
Right?
What an awesome
game. It was an awesome game for us.
Yes,
and
spectacular.
They got, and Notre Dame owes them $1.4 million to boot for that.
Hey, Yeah, we're going to pay you $2 million. Come on in and beat us.
Bill, did you think, obviously, I don't know if anybody's thought, but week two in the NFL, the Red Sox are playing the Yankees in the Bronx, and the biggest game this weekend is BC at Mizzou Saturday at 12:45.
Oh, man, I don't know. Look, I'm just glad that you guys, you know, give us this opportunity on EEI. I think we're building something. It's very early. You know, it's really early in this program. I mean, we just got the job only 8 months ago. But I do think that, you know, you guys know it's a special place. There's a niche in Boston for Boston College football. And so, like, hopefully we can, you know, show up there at Missouri, you know, fight hard, do the best job we can, and just keep fighting and trying to get better every single day. I think that's the key for us, so that people will be interested in watching us play. I think that's a big deal.
Are you planning on replacing the fight song after touchdowns with any of your kids' rap tunes?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't even know how to respond to that. I did hear that story about Colorado, but, you know, look, he came out, I think, and said that he didn't do that. So, no, we're not. The fight song gets played, even in practice, at least 5 or 6 times a day. I love the fight song. I love the fight song.
Also, I got to ask you about the Patriots and that win. Did like the rest of us, did you not see that coming week one?
I think, like, you know, first of all, when you watch the Patriots in that game, and I had it on in the background while I was kind of watching Missouri film, but if you have a dose of Ramondre Stevenson and the Patriots have a top-5 defense and then they play well on special teams, that's the formula. And to me, like, certainly I'm not in the building, but I wouldn't go too far away from that formula. You know, you pound Ramondre Stevenson 25, 30 times in a game. You know, you play good. Their defense is awesome.
That was about 3 more sentences than we've got out of Bill Belichick so far this season on the Patriots. Are you surprised that he's kind of attempting to sidestep anytime he's asked about them?
I don't know. I haven't noticed that. I really haven't. I hear you guys saying that he doesn't talk about the Patriots. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that would be a better question for him. You'd have to have him on and see if he could do his Monday Patriots review again with you guys. But
we tried.
No.
Yeah. We don't have the cash over here, Bill.
No, he's too expensive.
I mean, I think we got you for free. So, I'm easy.
Bill, one of the things that we always talk about here is, you know, how in the NFL, you know, it's really about having a quarterback. And you know, you can run the football and play good defense, but at the end of the day, you got to have that quarterback to get you over the hump. It's kind of a little bit on the opposite side, you know, from, you know, watching college football and being a college football fan. When you look at a team like Michigan, who's able to win with their ability to run the football, you guys have like a four-headed monster because I throw the quarterback in there with the ability to run and your offensive line. When you look at that in college football, can you win that way? Can you win a national championship that way in college football? Because, you know, if you can run the ball and play good D, that could take you a lot further and win national championships. Do you feel that way?
I definitely think that in college football, if you have, you know, obviously defenders, a defense that can play the space game, they can tackle in space because there's a lot more space plays in college than there are in the pros. And then you have a quarterback that has the ability to run, and he's a good passer, and he can do both. He's definitely what they would call a dual threat. But I also think if you can play decently on special teams and be able to flip the field every once in a while, if you have a good punter or something like that, I definitely think that's a formula for winning. I think the ability for a quarterback in college to make back that much because, you know, the guy's making $30 to $40 million a year. You're not going to get him tattooed, you know, by running him all the time. So, you know, I think it's definitely a good formula in college.
All right. Well, big one Saturday. Bill O'Brien, we will talk to you next week. Go get him. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right. There he is. Yeah. Head coach, Boston College, Bill O'Brien. We are going to get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports next. That includes what Patrick Mahomes said about the presidential election. And whether it is causing issues like it is for many in his household with his bae and her bestie coming up next.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session. Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.